I personally never questioned where I wanted to live. I wanted to be in Turtle River specifically.
Anna Carlson's connection to Turtle River runs deep and is laced with love. I connected with her and her husband, Joe Furseth, and we talked about what the area means to them and why they've chosen to raise their family there.
My grandmother, my dad's mother, went to school in the Turtle River Schoolhouse. That's just behind what is now Old Salem Hall. And she went her whole school in this one-room schoolhouse at Turtle River. And she lived on Lake Beltrami growing up. And her father, my great-grandfather, I think I'm going to get this right, he and his dad emigrated from Norway. And he and his dad lived in that Lake Beltrami area. And she was raised on that property.
That's quite a ways away from here.
Right.
Right? So these kids would go to school in Turtle River from
yes.
Lake Beltrami, and they did team of horses, right?
Did a team of horses.
I mean,
she talked about taking the horse and buggy or horse and sleigh from Beltrami to Turtle River School. And so literally, I've thought about it many times as we drive home, passing that road, that she would go to school and she'd be dropped off at the bottom of that hill where the depot and the old train tracks were.
Yeah.
And walk up the trail to the school. It's just a little bizarre and also really powerful, and it makes sense to me too at the same time. My dad, when he was, I think, in his early 20s, decided he wanted to build a log cabin, and his parents supported him in that endeavor, and he ended up building a small log cabin on Turtle River Lake property. He met my mom during that time that he was living at the cabin, and eventually married and decided they wanted to build a home for their family next door on that same piece of property. Mm-hmm. And so they lived in the cabin. I think it was at least 3, 4, maybe 5 years. Mm-hmm. My older brother was also born and lived there for 2 years as my dad was building the log house that I grew up in next door. That took him 6 years to build. Cut down the trees, strip the logs, design the home, built the whole thing from the ground up with some help from family and friends, but he was the architect and builder for that project.
So funny, the people in Turtle River they'll say, well, I remember when we helped so-and-so build their house. It's a community.
It is. And he was the first one down this road, the way I remember. Oh,
yeah,
no.
There was one older woman that lived.
Marianne?
Down the road.
Marianne?
And then there were a couple of resorts.
Yeah.
I was just asking him this the other day, because it's like, well, this road clearly existed, and was it public land? And he said, no, there were resorts way back, but they were seasonal, right? So they would be open in the summer, and then they'd close down in the winter. So when your dad built, this road wasn't really set up for winter travel, right? Mm-hmm. So Anna can talk about that, too, but it was just impassable in the spring.
Oh, right? My gosh.
They'd have to park half a mile out and drive the tractor in.
Did you have to do that when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah. We had a mudmobile that was literally half a car frame that was towed behind a tractor in the spring when the road became completely impassable mud. We'd jump in the mudmobile in our school clothes, mom as well, and dad would drive the tractor out to the end of the road where we'd get in our actual vehicle and drive to work in our nice work and school clothes. I remember the mudmobile very well.
That is Anna Carlson and Joe Furseth. They're telling me about Anna's family history in the Turtle River area, an area they've chosen to raise their daughters in, an area close by a lot of relatives.
As far as deciding to live here and raising a family, I honestly don't know how people have a family without grandparents available. And it's not just family values like, oh, we need to have this connection to each other, but even just that support network of, hey, we're gonna go away for the weekend. Why don't you girls go 200 yards down the road and hang out with grandma and grandpa for the weekend, right? And that was different than I, you know, it's like we saw grandma and grandpa 3-4 times a year if we were lucky. So it's just been so nice to have that that close connection, have our kids grow up with that close connection, and have that be, it's not like special to go see grandma and grandpa, it's just like, no, this is our family. This is where we live. Fantastic.
We yeah. built across the road. We are a few hundred yards away, yeah. and our oldest, within the first few weeks of living here, decided she wanted to walk on her own in the middle of winter down the road to grandma and grandpa's house.
Well, I think, well, maybe she walked the first time, but I mean, within.
And then she skied.
Yeah, put her skis on, ski down.
She's seven.
Fantastic.
And those little moments are some of those points where I think Joe and I both look at each other like, that's it. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the dream of raising children in a community where they feel safe enough to go out and explore, even in the middle of the woods.
Yeah, we feel safe enough.
We feel safe enough. We know that they're going somewhere that they can foster that feeling of independence and also connection. And I credit my family for defining community in such a different way, or family even in such a different way. One of the most awesome experiences I've had has happened this past year with my oldest daughter. She's in second grade, and their class did an expedition on the Dust Bowl and the Great Depression. She came home and asked, "So, Mom, did you live through the Great Depression?" Said, "No, but Nana did, you know, my dad's mom, and we should ask her about that sometime." And we have a great tradition of having dinners together pretty often. And it was so amazing that one of the nights that we had dinner, Iris ended up asking Nana, "Nana, did you live through the Dust Bowl?" And she said, "Well, you know, up here it wasn't as big of a deal as it was in Nebraska and Kansas and other places in the country, but we definitely experienced hardships and drought and similar things." And hearing this conversation between my 7-year-old and my 95-year-old grandmother, her great-grandmother, mm-hmm. was such a special thing that when I think about why we're here and what draws us here, it's like, that just spoke to it so strongly. Mm-hmm. The space and ability to have that conversation and have that connection and relationship mm-hmm. was really cool.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
You know, our kids will be able to come home and get off the bus and go to grandma and grandpa's house yeah. till we get home. And we'll be able to be there for grandma and grandpa when yeah. they still want to be living here and need a little extra help. And it's going to be someone younger, probably me, is going to need to learn how to clear this road, right? So
drive the tractor in the mudmobile.
It's a big learning curve for me.
It is out here. It's over the river and through the woods yeah. to get to this place.
I was asking Dave the other day, how many all-year-round places are down here? I think we came up with 7 down this road.
I remember sitting in a college class at UMD. It was called Landscapes, Environments, and U.S. Culture, studying environmental studies. And our professor asked a classroom of maybe 25 or 30, okay, how many of you feel like you have a particular tie, like a tether or a relationship with a specific place or landscape? And I remember just like putting up my hand, like all of us are gonna put up our hands. And I was the only one in the class. And some of them kind of like, there was a couple that kind of put up their hands, and then they're like, "Well, you know, I grew up in this, like my house, you know, or my neighborhood, but not like a landscape or a particular place." And I've reflected on that a lot as I've come back to this community and made this my home, as that what I feel as like profoundly impactful connection through 5 generations of people in this space is a mere fraction of what Native people from this community feel. Like thinking 5 generations versus hundreds of generations, just thinking how impactful and important that is for me, and thinking about family and community. And I feel this interesting empathy and yet just scratching this surface of empathy. Like I cannot feel what it's like to not only have that connection, but to then go through generations of what they've gone through. And I work with a number of Native communities on clean energy issues, and the level at which I feel that importance of place and that importance of community, there's still so much depth I have yet to understand. And I don't know, I just have spent a lot of time just reflecting on, I can't even really put words to it other than awe and respect and sadness too, and guilt, and a lot of things that are wrapped up in that. But there's a lot of beauty and strength in that connection that I witness and experience on a very, like, again, minute, like, fraction of a level, I feel.
That's awesome.
I mean, in our family, our story is like, our great-grandparents immigrated and homesteaded on Lake Beltrami and lived in Turtle River. Like, this is where our story starts, basically, right? Mm-hmm. And yet that was in the early 1900s. Not that long ago. Mm-hmm. And yet it feels, especially because in context to others, it is long. And yet in other context to others, it is not at all. And I can't even imagine what, if I was forced to leave or not have connection to this place in my family, what that would mean for me as an individual or the way I experience the world. I try to keep that on the close level of consciousness as we appreciate and love and live here, and that we're newcomers as well to this place.
That place she's talking about is Turtle River, Minnesota, and it is a place that has stolen my heart. Thanks to Anna and Joe for sharing their experience. And also thanks to Leroy Stouter, Jeremiah Lind and Ruth Baker, and Mark Schultz. It truly was a pleasure to meet these people who live in Turtle River, Minnesota. I'm Katie Carter, your host. Thank you so much for choosing Northern Community Radio and for tuning in to this segment of Let's Visit. Let's Visit is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and by the citizens of Minnesota.